been so blessed by your fellowship and your love and just the beautiful sense of God's presence in your midst, where a people dwell in unity. How sweet it is. And just have been sensing that today. I always go back to 1981 because it was in 1981 that the Lord called me to be a support, not so much to a person. Initially, I thought it was to be a support to my dad, but actually to be a support to a vision, a carrier of a vision. You know, when you support somebody else, you end up getting a deposit yourself. And my call has to do with the preparation of a people for the end time purposes of the Lord. And back in 1981, we were living in Florida at the time. My husband is a carpenter, and we were living in our first new house. We had another piece of land we were going to build and sell and get mortgage free, and had nice plans working towards a nice retirement. When really through a misunderstanding, we ended up laying all of that aside to, and I like to say just one yes at a time, as one thing was asked of me and I would say yes. By the time I was done, I could do it. And then something else would be asked of me. And by faith, I would say, okay. And by the time I was done, I knew how to do it. And amen. Just one step at a time. I love that song that we sing tonight, Yes, Lord, Yes, Lord, Yes, Yes, Lord. Because I want that Yes, Lord to mark my life. Have a little plaque on the office of Parousia Ministries. I also serve what is called Way Taylor Ministries or Parousia Ministries. But in the office of Parousia Ministries, we have a little plaque on the wall that says, Yes, Lord. And years and years and years ago, a teacher of my dad's, John Wright Follett, somebody had seen that little Yes, Lord, and told John Wright Follett that it made them think of his life. And so they had gotten him that a little plaque that said, Yes, Lord. And when my dad was telling that story, somebody said to him, you know, when you were talking about Yes, Lord, marking John Wright Follett's life, well, it made us think of your life. And they gave the same to my dad, and now I'm blessed to have that. But that Yes, Lord, just one yes at a time, just one yes at a time is all it takes. And I have learned that as we're willing to say yes, that with the calling comes the enabling. And as I'm willing to say yes, there comes the releasing of what I need to walk out that yes.
Yes.
In my walk and in my relationship with the Lord. So I've gotten when something comes my way, there's almost an anticipation as I say yes to the Lord, because I know the Lord is about to touch me again and that there will be an enlargement as I'm willing to say yes. This last year has been a challenging year for me. This last year, I had been living in the Harrisburg area for the last 6 years, pastoring a small church there. And about 2 hours north of Washington, D.C. area, 2.5 hours to get down to the southern side where we were having our meetings. But had a home, an office in my home where my dad spent quite a bit of time at my house. The last 3 years, I was also taking care of my mother, who had increased difficulties as time went on. But in February of last year, my dad went home quite unexpectedly to be with the Lord. And then in April, my mother followed him. So I found myself they had been such a big part of my life because they were at my home more than that they weren't. But I found myself with not only a big hole in my home, but with increased responsibilities upon me, as I was now not only doing this little church, but I also had Parousia Ministries, Wade Taylor Ministries. Wade Taylor Ministries is a website with, I call them deeper life teachings, but for those who have a hunger after the Lord, as well as they reach forward into the day before us, where numerous people relate to the teachings and we interact with them. I think it's through that I've come to know some of you. But I found myself being stretched and having technical response. I mean, I could get by on a computer. You know, I know how to do what I know how to do. But I found myself trying to learn new programs and doing new things just being overwhelmed by the responsibilities that were coming my way. But yet I have seen the faithfulness of God, the faithfulness of God. And there's times where we just need to hold steady. And as we do, the Lord is so faithful to provide all that we need of. But I realized that in coming here that the Lord has so blessed me. It's been a time of refreshing for me. It's been a time of God just touching me with his love. It's been a time of me gaining new family. And thank you again for inviting me to come up and just to be able to receive of that which you have here. It's just been precious to me. I so appreciate Brother Ron and his wife, and he does. We have a link on the website where we also have articles in French, and he's been doing that for us. And what a blessing to be able to finally meet you and Evelyn and to get to know you. So, but I just feel so blessed and so overwhelmed. And this is part of the goodness of God to me that I can be here with you today and to receive from that which you have. I'd like to just look at Philippians 3 again for just a few moments and use that as a little springboard for where I want to go this morning. Mentioned some of these verses last night. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, a very, very familiar passage. We could all say it without even going to our Bibles. But that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this to you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for these few thoughts that you have given me. And Lord, I'm asking for broken bread this morning, for the ministry of spirit and life. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Philippians is a small book, and most Bibles, it's about 4 pages long. Yet in that small book, in those few pages, Paul uses the personal pronoun, referring to himself, at least 98 times. Kevin Connors has found more. But in this letter that he's writing, he's not defending himself like in Corinthians, where he's writing that second letter. He's not addressing problems within the church or questions within the church as he is in some of his other writings. But there is an expression of his own heart in this little book, his own desire, his own passion for the Lord as he encourages the church there to have this same heart and passion and desire towards the Lord, that I might know him, an apostle, powerful conversion experience, caught up into the heavenlies. But there was still something within his heart that was just yearning and desiring for more, a greater knowledge, a greater understanding, a greater communion. It wasn't just for more information, but it had to do with a yearning to be brought into that place of identification and oneness with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul was not concerned about his salvation here. If you go back into the Greek, you will see that this translates, if by any means I might attain into an out resurrection from among the living dead. In other words, Paul's desire was to come up out of mere religious form. See, the church at Sardis, you have a name that you live. To come up out of mere religious form into a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the place of oneness, being made conformable, being made one, knowing him in his power, in his life. If by any means I might attain into an out resurrection from among the living dead, not as if I have already arrived. Not as if God has already finished with me. Not as if I've already achieved everything there is to acquire. But I'm following after the Lord Jesus Christ. If that I might apprehend that for which I've been apprehended. And that's a little prayer I pray time and time again. Lord, cause me to apprehend that for which I have been apprehended. Cause me, Lord. I love that word, cause. Cause me to apprehend that for which I've been apprehended, as I'm forgetting those things which are behind, and I'm pressing forward into that which is yet before me. And as I have this mindset, as I'm pressing toward that high calling of God in Christ Jesus, which has to do with an intimacy of relationship, because that's our high calling. But as I'm pressing toward that mark, Paul reassures us that if we will have this mindset, if we will have this hunger, if we will have this desire, if there's anything in me that's otherwise minded, the Lord will show me. He'll let me know. He'll deal with me so that I might be able to fully enter into all that he has for me. The Lord is so faithful and the Lord is so good. He loves those who love him. He's a God that When we seek him, we can find him. And he's good in all of his ways. Last night, I shared a little bit of my personal testimony where the Lord took me beyond just the desire to right wrong and understanding of right wrong and wanting to do right into an understanding of a love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. A place where spiritual hunger began to work in my life in a deeper way. Took a little walk through the Song of Solomon, just a little overview of the book, which basically lays out the same thing, an awakening to the love song of the Lord, a spiritual hunger which continues to grow, allowing the Lord to work inside. So that there can be a coming into a oneness or a unity with the Lord, and from that place of oneness, of being joined with him in his purposes. But I have a few quotes with me this morning that I'd like to share with you, which is basically saying the same thing in a few different words of what I was laying out last night. I.Q. Spencer, the founder of Elam, he said, "We must consider the reproduction of the Christ within his many-membered body and how we are neglecting this very important truth. We are not yielding fully to the Holy Spirit to bring us into this truth because we are so occupied with service and other distractions." And he's talking to the church at large here. He said, "We must realize that this is the hour of travail for the church, the birthing of the man-child, or the forming of Christ within." That's what I was talking about last night, in that progression from that initial awakening to the love of the Lord, that spiritual hunger, that inward working, that place of becoming one. It says, "God is laying his hand upon a body of overcomers and drawing them into a place of intimacy." Isn't that what it's all about? "Drawing them into a place of intimacy with himself so he can prepare them for his coming reign." I also have a quote here from Nancy's Corner, something that I had written for the website. It says, "There is an increasing travail today," and I've been experiencing this, that's why I'm mentioning it, "but there is an increasing travail today for the true life and ministry of Christ to be made manifest in and through lives submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. This travail is being imparted by the Holy Spirit to bring forth a people who will live and walk in the Spirit. These are being enabled to live overcoming lives and to become joined with the Lord in a cooperative relationship in all that he is doing today." And just one more quote, this one from my father. He wrote, "A mother hen instinctively sits upon an egg that will bring forth a new generation. Likewise, the Holy Spirit broods upon those whom he would birth into a higher spiritual realm and purpose, especially at this time." This last year, I had gone through some loss, and of course, I was doing some grieving. I was also being stretched in areas that were not my strong points, which was also causing me some grief. But aside from either one of those things, There was something I was feeling in my spirit. And if I can use the words from what I just spoke, it has to do with that brooding of the Holy Spirit. Has to do with that travail of the Holy Spirit. For that birthing of a people. See that upward call, there's two calls today. There's the horizontal call where the Lord is calling people into the church. But within the church, there's those who the Lord is calling up into a place of higher identification and oneness with Him. And this intercession, this brooding of His Holy Spirit, was so on me this last year, and it's still there many times, that I began to wonder, am I grieving? Is this really the Holy Spirit, or am I grieving? Or is this really the Holy Spirit, or is it just some of the things that I'm going through? And as I was spending time, the only thing I could do is spend time in the Lord's presence. When that heavy spirit of intercession comes upon you, it's pretty hard to focus on anything else or do anything else. You almost have to give way to it. You know, prayer, I can pray anytime I want. Prayer is a choice. But intercession comes by the Holy Spirit. And when it comes, it's sovereign. That's the timing of the Lord. And the only thing you can do, unless you want to miss, is yield. So I was giving much time in allowing this, it almost felt like a heaviness to work in me and churn in me. And I was saying, God, is this you? Is this you? Wanted to make sure I wasn't just grieving, you know. Is this you, Lord? And it was after I had been having quite a bit of time like that, that I came across, well, first I came across this email by my dad, this article by my dad, where he was talking about the mother hen sitting on an egg, instinctively knowing that it will bring forth a new generation and that brooding of the Holy Spirit on those whom he would birth up into this higher realm today. And when I read that, I said, oh, that's exactly what I'm experiencing, and that's why I posted it on the website. But then going through my emails, I found an email that I had received a few months earlier where somebody had written me a note and told me they were sending me an article, but I never found the article. The window on my screen, somehow I didn't scroll down low enough to see what they had sent me. But lo and behold, a few months, maybe 3-4 months after I had discovered this article, I'd been experiencing this, I discovered this article, I said, oh, this is what's been happening to me. Lo and behold, somebody had sent me that same article, had pasted it into an email, and sent it to me as a present word for me, as that which the Lord was desiring to do. And I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, for the Holy Spirit to brood on me, for that intercession of the Holy Spirit to work in me, takes time. Takes time. And what are we today? I think we're busy. I don't think we have ever lived in a busier time. Sometimes I'm typing on my computer while I'm talking on my phone while I'm answering a text message. We've all learned how to multitask. Used to drive in my car and it would be quiet. Now I have a little headset where somebody can talk to me while I'm driving. I can remember, this is going way back, where one day I would do laundry, another day I would do housekeeping, another. My goodness, to throw some clothes in the washing machine now isn't even considered a day's work. We're doing that while we're doing a million other things. Busy, busy, busy. But yet there's a brooding of the Holy Spirit which is taking place over an overcoming people, a people who have an ear to hear, where there's been that cultivation of a sensitivity of spirit. For those who are willing to respond, and that's why I say an overcoming people, because, you know, we'll never have the time. We have to make time. That there might come a birthing, that there might come a lifting into that which is yet before us. Seven churches listed in the book of Revelations. At the end of the seventh day church, a verse that we often use for salvation. The Lord is saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and commune with him and sup with him." Now, I can take that verse and rightly use it in sharing salvation with someone. And that understanding of a personal relationship and the love of God and his desire for communion and fellowship. But if I look at that verse in its context, it's at the end of a dispensation of time where the Lord is standing there. The first revelation that I had in looking at this is just, you know, there isn't an eighth church. There isn't one there. There's no number eight. We're living at the end of a dispensation of time. And the Lord is standing at that transitional point, that transition between the church age and that which is to come. And he's at the door knocking, saying, "I want to come in. I want to commune with you. I want to fellowship with you." Amen. For those who have an ear to hear. And it was after this that John writes that he looked and behold, a door was opened in the heavens. And the first voice which I heard as it were of a trumpet, speaking of the prophetic, open heaven and open door, that prophetic sound talking with me, which said, "Come up hither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter." And immediately I was in the spirit. And then there's a revelation of the throne and the one who sits on the throne, the glory of God, and that which is yet to come. But I believe that for those who have an ear to hear, that that is where the Lord is calling us. That in the busyness of our day, in the busyness of all that's going on, that we would hear his gentle knock. That we would open the door and allow him to come into our day, come into our lives, the time that we have. Commune and fellowship with him. I don't think there's anything more challenging than trying to find that quiet time, that quiet place, that quiet moment. Yet there is a lifting within the body of Christ that the Lord would birth us up into, which we will come into no other way than spending time in his presence. This is the desire of my heart. This is the longing of my heart. You talk about the preparation of a people for the end time purpose of the Lord. Well, what does that mean? It's just a people who have committed their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a people who have become sensitive to the Holy Spirit, learning to allow the Holy Spirit to teach them, to lead them, learning to hear, learning to obey, learning to live overcoming lives. It's just a people that the Lord is preparing and birthing that he might use them in a greater way as his presence and as his power is made more manifest in the days that are before us. It's not that hard. It's pretty simple. But yet it's one of the hardest things you'll ever try to do.
Amen.
Because it takes a commitment to become that simple, that we might be like little children, that we might enter into the kingdom. As I think about this people that God is calling forth, and I believe that we are a part of that people. I don't think I'm talking about something. I feel like I'm speaking into what God is doing. But as I think about this people that the Lord is calling forth in this hour, the people of his presence, carriers of his presence, sensitive, responsive to the Holy Spirit, learning to hear, learning to obey. Sometimes I think, Lord, how can it be? Talked in the Song of Solomon last night about, who is this that comes up from the wilderness leaning on her beloved? Well, I'm just this humble little lily. No special gifts or talents. But he brought me to his banqueting table. I heard that knock on the door, and I said, yes, Lord, and he came in. But sometimes I say, Lord, how can it be? How can it be? And I think of Abraham going to a place. He'd never been there. He didn't even know exactly where he was going. But he had a word. And he believed God. He was so persuaded. He had such a revelation of God. This God who calls those things that be not as though they were. He had this word. And he was persuaded that which God had spoken, he would be able to perform. He would be able to do it. And his faith was counted to him for righteousness. And I believe that as we're believing, just not that I can do anything, not that I can be anything. I'm just this humble little lily. But I serve this God who can do all things. And that which he has spoken, that which he has said, he is able to perform. He's able to do it. I am persuaded. I know whom I have believed in. And I am confident that he who has begun a good work in me, he's able to perform it. He's able to do it. And that which he is calling forth in this hour, he's able to bring forth. As I'm just willing to say yes, one little yes at a time. That's all he asks for. He doesn't want 10 yeses all at once. Just yes, and then yes, and then yes. One little yes at a time. That which God has spoken, he is able to perform. He is able to do. I think of Peter when he first encountered the Lord Jesus said to him, "You're Simon Bar-Jona, but you're going to be Peter." A series of blessings and testings, said from the Song of Solomon last night. We'll always have both in our lives. They're both necessary for us to mature and to grow. But through the processing of life, as Peter worked through the different situations that he found himself in, he came to that place in Matthew 16 where Jesus said, "Who do people say that I am? Well, some say this, some say that, but who do you say that I am?" He said, "Well, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "You're blessed, Peter." You're blessed. Because flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Heavenly Father. And it's on this rock that I'm going to build my church. See, that of hearing, that revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter means small stone. Jesus is the rock of our salvation. He's saying, "Peter, now you're becoming of the same substance that I am. I hear from the Father. I always do those things that please the Father. Now you're starting to hear, becoming as I am." And it's on this hearing that I'm going to build my church. And wasn't it on that level of hearing? Though the early church had no understanding, though they didn't understand what they were moving towards, it was on that level of hearing that Peter was sent to Cornelius' house and the Gentiles were added into the church. It wasn't because they had figured it all out doctrinally. It wasn't because they finally understood. It was because they were a people who had learned to hear and obey. They had learned to hear and to follow the Holy Spirit. And because situation by situation, Peter had sought after God, had come to repentance in areas where he needed to repent, had sought after the Lord, he came to a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, a knowing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And on that foundation, along with learning to hear and obey, the Lord was able to move them into that new thing that was before them, the Jew and the Gentile coming together as one new man, as the Lord built his church. It's what the Lord is doing today. Desiring to bring that greater revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ inside of people who are just learning to hear and learning to obey, who are hearing the Lord's gentle knock and who have opened the door that the Lord might come in communion and fellowship as we move forward into a time we don't fully understand. We don't have, you know, even when you look at the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, that transition from law into grace, the disciples were not there expectantly waiting at the tomb for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that transition from law into grace. Well, as we're transitioning into the kingdom age, we don't understand. We don't fully understand. But as we're walking in communion and fellowship with him, as that greater revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ is working within our hearts, and as we're just learning to hear and obey, just learning to be led by the Holy Spirit, the Lord will cause us by his grace to fully enter into the new and to be participants with him in all that he's doing. Not as spectators, not where we're sitting there and watching, but where we're able to enter in and to be a part and to have a part. think of the sons of Sceva in the book of Acts. They saw Paul doing certain miracles, and they said, well, we know how to do that. Didn't work, did it? They ran away naked and wounded. Not a formula. There's no formula I can give you. It's a personal relationship. It's intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. Whereas I spend time in communion and fellowship with Him, He is equipping me. He is empowering me. He is giving me that which I need. He is causing me to know Him. And in that knowing of Him, He's allowing me to reflect Him in the various places He allows me to be. A verse that I just love is 1 John 4:17, but it says, as He is, so are we. Isn't that something? Think about that. Boy, that really gripped me. I'm saying, Lord, in every area of my life, every part of my inner being, Lord, let this be worked into me that I might be as You are, that it might be Jesus that is seeing. You don't want to see Nancy. You don't want to see the old Nancy. But may it be Jesus that is seeing in me. May it be His presence that is felt. May it be His love. May it be His compassion. May it be His goodness. As I just learn to practice His presence. If I was going to talk about anything more, I'd probably talk about practicing His presence. John 15 calls it abiding in Him. As we practice His presence, as we allow His inner working within our hearts and within our lives, as we live overcoming lives, as we learn how to say yes, and we learn how to say no, and as we are led by the Holy Spirit. The preparation of a people for the end time purposes of the Lord. I believe with my whole heart that we are a part of that people that God is preparing today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's just pray. Thank You, Lord. How we love You, Jesus. How we love You. How we love You. And we thank You for that revelation of Your love to our hearts. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your saving power, for Your keeping power, for Your healing power. We thank You, Lord. Father, we thank You for that which You're doing within our hearts and within our lives. We thank You, Lord. And Lord, our desire is to yield fully to You. Lord, to hear Your knock. Lord, to respond fully. Lord, to have those times apart to commune and fellowship with You. But yet to live and walk in fellowship and communion with You every moment of every day. Lord, anything that would interfere with that communion and fellowship, I ask, Lord, that You would remove it. Thoughts not pleasing to You, activities not pleasing to You, time killers, remove it, Lord. Father, that we might come into that place of full consecration. Lord, that Your glory might resonate within us and might spill out, Lord, in touching other lives, but also in releasing, Lord, that which You would do in and through us in a greater way. We just thank You, Lord. We thank You for Your love. And Father, I'm asking for that touch of your love this morning in a very personal way, Lord. Very personal way, Lord, for your love to minister to each and everyone here this morning. Just that brooding sense of your Holy Spirit, your love, your presencing, your enabling grace, your enabling power. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for that deposit, for that touch, for that refreshing for each and every one. We thank you, Lord, and we praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen.